Christ, you know? We got people at all stages of life. We got people at all stages when it comes, most importantly, to their spiritual life. There's people here that believe that they have the best relationship with God they could ever have, and that's awesome. And I hope that you believe that you have that, but I hope you believe that it could always be better. Some of us in here believe that we have no relationship. We don't see the need for it. We don't understand what the hype is all about. We don't understand what the big deal is. You know, I'm doing just fine without all that stuff. Well, my prayer this morning is that wherever you fall on that continuum, that today we all just come to the same place of just asking the question, God, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do with me? Well, what is it? If you're doubting that he even exists, maybe you just need to ask him if he exists. Because I promise if you ask, he'll show himself to you. Listen, I asked that question, and I know that he does. Maybe today you just need to ask what the whole salvation thing is about. Maybe, I don't know what it is that the question is that you're going to have for today that you need answered, but I'm just going to ask that for these next few moments, several moments probably, that we just focus on what God has for us. And let's just allow him to answer the questions that are deep down burning inside of us. Listen, he's given me a message, and that's great. I'm going to bring that, and I'm going to let him just speak through me and do whatever. But listen, your question may not have anything to do with what is in my notes today. But my prayer is that it will get answered anyway. And so can we just all agree that that's where we're going to be? So let me just pray, and let's begin that. God, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to be here. God, I don't even know why I'm even having this discussion. I don't even know where that all came from, other than I just know it's you, and you've prompted me to make sure that we all begin today at the same place. And so, God, my prayer is that that's where we are, that we just begin being open to you completely. No matter how long we've followed you, no matter how long we've doubted you, that today we just begin at the same place. So I pray that you'll just be in these next few moments, God, answer the questions that we have in our hearts. God, if the answer's not here today, then may that question burn so that we don't just forget it, but that we seek out what you have for us. And we pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're continuing on in our series called To Save a Life. And we've been looking at the fact that all of our lives are in peril. Left to our own, we're all in a place where we can find ourselves lost and separated forever from God. But the truth is that God saw fit to give us all opportunities to have our lives saved, our spiritual lives saved, and to be able to have a relationship with him that lasts throughout eternity. And for every single one of us in this room, no matter where you are, what you think is going on with you, we all have an opportunity every day to be a lifesaver. I'm not just talking about extending somebody's physical life temporarily. I'm talking about the fact that we have the opportunity to be eternal lifesavers, that we have the ability, not to anything we can do on our own, but to be the vessel that God uses to communicate a message that allows people to see it, accept it, and be changed forever by it. We're talking much deeper than just the level of just putting a Band-Aid on something. We're talking about being changed radically for the rest of our lives. And every single one of us has the opportunity to be part of helping that happen in other people's lives around us. And that sounds pretty heroic, doesn't it? Sounds, you know, if you can save somebody's spiritual life, man, that's pretty heroic. But here's the truth. Any heroic act, anything heroic, is going to take huge risks. You're going to have to risk something to be part of that heroic act. If somebody's in a burning building, you have to run into a burning building to save them. If a baby falls into a well, guess what? You have to go down in the well to get the baby out. If you want to save somebody from thinking the Panthers are going to have a great season this year, well, you just got to look at Friday night score. That's kind of speaks for itself. But y'all didn't think that was very funny. I thought it was hilarious, you know. But, hey, listen, I said we were all going to the same level today. So Cowboys are 0-3 too. So I'm just saying, you know, I think the Panthers may have won one, even they got lucky or something. But anyway, but the truth is, if you're gonna save somebody, you have to risk big things. And when it comes to people's spiritual lives, there's no exception. You have to be willing to risk big things. We have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, if we are a Christ follower, we've come to a place where we recognize the fact that lost or on our own, that we're lost and separated from God forever. And because of that, God loved us enough to send Jesus to earth to die on a cross, pay the price for our sins, allowed him to be buried, but raised him again so that we not only can have the price paid for our sins on the cross, but now, because he's been raised, that we can experience life for eternity. If we've come to a place where we've recognized that for ourselves, then listen, we have been saved, we've been rescued, and we have the opportunity to take that same message and share it with somebody else so they can experience it too. That's what we get to have. Now, maybe you're here today and you say, well, gosh, I've never done that. Well, listen, I'm glad that you're here. Because listen, this is what it really comes down to. You wonder why people keep telling you about Jesus? We're going to talk about it today. You want to know what it means to be saved? We're going to talk about it today. You want to know why people thump their Bibles for you to know Christ? Listen, we're going to talk about it today. This is why we do what we do, and we're going to focus on it today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we found our main verse that helps us to understand all this, and it talks about the fact that our eternal life is a free gift from God. That being saved from our sins, from the penalty due for our sins, and having the opportunity to spend forever with God is a free gift from him. And it comes with a responsibility, a missional responsibility, to tell people the same good news that we've had the opportunity to experience. It means that we have this honor and this responsibility to not just hold this to ourselves, but to share that with as many people as we can. And listen, every time we do it, listen, I get it. Every time we have an opportunity to share our faith, we face one of our biggest fears, the fear of rejection, right? Every time we have the opportunity to do it, there's this monster called rejection that stands up in front of us, and we often cower in front of that fear. And we can either decide that we're going to go through that fear or we're going to let that fear get the best of us. And today, I want us to look at how we can be willing to conquer that fear and to keep moving forward. Because that fear, you know, that rejection thing, man, that is a scary, scary beast. Very intimidating for all of us. As we look at it, we become paralyzed often. We see this thing in front of us and we're like, what in the world? I can't overcome and I can't get through that. And so we just give up. And today I don't want us to give up anymore. I want us to keep moving. We begin to fear what people are going to think about us. Man, if I talk about Jesus, they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak. I mean, I hope by the end of the day you realize that's a good thing. Now, what if they reject me? What if they tell me they don't want to hang out with me anymore? Well, what if they ask me questions I don't know the answer to? Well, listen, we've got to be willing to overcome these things to get past it. That fear can cripple us and it can debilitate us, and we've got to be willing to step through it. So how do we deal with it? That's a good question. That's the question we're going to be focused on. And so to better understand why we do this, why we need to be willing to share our faith, and why we need to be willing to conquer this fear of rejection, we're going to do what Jesus did. We're going to talk about a story. Because Jesus was incredible at telling stories. He told stories so that people could wrap their earthly minds around what he was trying to say. And then the ones that really wanted to know could find that heavenly meaning, that deep heaven, the kingdom of God truth that is in there. And so today, that's what you and I need to be able to do here. So let me tell you a story. There once was a young guy who had the experience of playing in a fantasy football league. Do we have any football fans in here? Oh my gosh. Yeah, now I know why the Panthers are not so good. Because no, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, football fans, really? Anybody? Thank you. My goodness. I'm beginning to think it's a powder puff league around here or something. No, here's the truth. So this fantasy football league, if you don't know what that means, that's not some triple X rated kind of football thing. That is a way where you get to be a pretend football general manager. You get to draft any player that you want. you know, you get to join up with other guys and girls and groups. You get to draft your favorite players, the best players, put them on your team. And then as the season goes, you get to play them or not play them depending on what how many points they may score. And then as they perform, as they get yards and score touchdowns and all these things, you score points, and then you're playing against another person in that league. And so eventually through the league, you get down to the end of the season to a championship, and somebody gets to win. It's a pretty cool way because you get to draft all your favorite players or even players. Listen, I even drafted a Philadelphia Eagle on my team, okay? I'm just saying. Anybody can do that, all right? So the thing is, no Eagle fans in here, I guess. Nobody threw anything? Cool. Well, so the truth is that fantasy football is this really neat way to just experience football in a whole other light. So this young man decided that he was going to put together a fantasy football league. First time ever he played, had a great experience with it, so he decided he was going to have the league. So he figures out how to do it, learns all the rules, he comes up with it, then he goes and to have a league, you got to have other people, right? So you got to go invite people. So he goes out, finds a bunch of friends, and he begins to invite them to play with him. Well, it doesn't take long to finally get some answers back, because the first couple of few, they said no. That they just couldn't wrap their minds around this whole fantasy football league thing. They wanted to experience football just as it was and be able to watch it just the same. All right, so they said no. But then there was a couple other people who said, yeah, that sounds really cool. I'd really like to do that. So he gives them a spot. Well, then the next thing you know, they don't show up for the draft. They don't do anything with their team, and so they're out. Right? They don't do anything with it. So then a couple other people that he asked said, yeah, man, I really want to do that. So they set up their team, they draft their team, and then all of a sudden work takes over and everything else. They drop out and say, I just don't have time to do it. And then there's another group of people who said, you know what, yeah, that sounds great. So they drafted their teams, they created, you know, all the teams, they put them in order, they played the whole season through, they all had a great time, and you know, end up having a champion out of it, and it was just a marvelous experience for everybody involved, because they were able to be who they needed to be in that league and be a positive player in it. Well, what does all that have to do with sharing the gospel? What does that have to do with any of it? Well, if you think about this fear that we have of rejection, this idea of trying to share our faith, to get people to understand what the gospel is and why they need it in their life, then kind of look back at this whole thing, because this guy, he experienced something really amazing in his life. He had this really cool time playing fantasy football. So then he wanted to share that with all of his friends. He got a couple no's, didn't he? So this guy could have just quit and gave up after a few no's. He could have thrown in the towel and said, you know what, this just isn't worth it. I'm not going to do it. But he didn't. He persisted. And so because he did, they were able to have this fun time together and just experience it all the way through. So the thing it comes down to that we get to experience things in life, especially the gospel, and it begins to become part of us. And when it's part of us, we have to do something with it. This young man taught us something here, this point that we need to look at today. And if you're writing things down, writing notes, here's what you may want to write down. While the gospel, this good news that we have, is open to everyone, not everyone is open to it. While the gospel, the good news, is something that is for everybody, everybody doesn't see the need for it in their life. Just like in the fantasy football league, this young man invited a lot of people, and they could have had a great time doing this and playing it, especially sports lovers. They would have loved being able to have all these great players on their team, but because they said no, they just didn't get to experience it. Could have been just not, you know, they shouldn't have time. It wasn't where they were at, but they missed out on experiencing something great in their life because they just weren't open to it at the moment. And when we understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus, we know, if we've experienced it ourselves, we know that it will change your life. If you allow it to root in and you allow it to be all that God wants it to be in your life, it'll be, your life can be amazing. It won't be perfect, because none of us are perfect. But the reality is we'll have somebody perfect with us to experience it. And so here in this idea that we're looking at today, we're going to look at a parable that Jesus told that kind of said the same thing. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 23. You may want to use your YouVersion Live app. That's really cool. If you haven't been using that at all yet, get hooked up with us. We'll get you set up You can just go to uversion.com and get an app, the part set up, or get the app for it and be able to just follow along. But here's the reality. Jesus was telling this story in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Some of them you've heard, you'll see it called the parable of the soils. It allows us to really see the gospel and how it shapes and folds around people and where they are in their life. But Jesus has been, he's teaching people these earthly, he's telling these earthly stories, getting them to a heavenly meaning. So let's begin to read here in Matthew 13. Now, the parable of sower is pretty interesting. It's a little different than all the other parables. Because when Jesus would tell parables, he left it out there with this for those that wanted to understand and were willing to seek out the deeper meaning of it, they could find the meaning. He wouldn't explain it to them. But the parable of the sowers is very different because he does explain it. So we're going to read the parable of the sower, and then I'm going to read the corresponding scriptures down a little bit lower in the chapter that show us what he's really talking about here. So let's read together. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 3. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. All right, so let's look down in verse 19 where Jesus explains it. I'm just going to read it. It's not going to be on the screen. I want you to listen to what Jesus says here. Verse 19, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart. What Jesus is saying here is that for some of us, the seed of the gospel comes into our life, but we're not at a place where we're ready to hear it. We're kind of like that trampled down soil where it doesn't dig down in and it never sets, and the birds come along and they just pick it off. Jesus says that for many of us, we hear the message over and over and over again. Every Sunday we come and we hear the gospel presented to us, where we hear about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that we can trust in it and believe in it and be changed by it. But yet we hear it, we don't really get it, so we don't do anything with it. We don't ask any questions. We don't take it any further into our life. And before you know it, Satan has come along and he's distracted us, got us off base, and we don't pay any more attention to it and we move on. All right? So let's see about the next soil. Verse 5. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Here's how he explains it. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it. They receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. These are the people that hear it. You know, they come one time, one Sunday, they hear the gospel and they can't wait to get to the front. They accept it. Man, they're on fire for Jesus. And 3 weeks later, you can't find them anywhere. And it's because life hit them. It's because they accepted it, they got it, they understood that it was just this, the need for it, and there was a change that was to take place, but they never went further with it. And when life came along and it got tough, and you know, their girlfriend broke up with them, their job, they got fired, or this bill came or whatever, they said, oh, that must be a bunch of junk, and it's, I don't want anything to do with that because it's not doing anything for me. It didn't fix all my problems. Listen, you need to know that the gospel is not about fixing all of your problems. It's about fixing your problem, about your spiritual problem. And life's still going to come and throw you curveballs. But the gospel is about being able to hit those curveballs. It's about being able to know how to respond when life doesn't go the way that you want it to go. But that soil is rocky, and because it's not able to dig down in there, they wither and they die. Jesus goes on and talks about this soil, verse 7. He says, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. He explains it this way. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. We talked just a couple weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit. What's to be evident in our life if we have a relationship with God? if there's peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, and there's just this list of things that are just there for us, that when you have a relationship with Christ, it's evident in your life. And listen, we can't fake it. We can smile, but guess what? Smiling isn't a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is. And joy is not always smiling, but it's always having a good attitude about your frown. That's the way I look at it. It's about being able to know that life's difficult, but you know what? I can move on because I know who I belong to. It's about being able to know that He loves you no matter what. That distractions, when they come, they don't take you away from Christ. No, they allow you to focus more on Him. And listen, sometimes those choking weeds are people around you. Those thorns and those choking people that have bad attitudes. And listen, they exist in the church too, okay? Let's don't play any games. There's some thorns in the church that will choke you out if you listen to them and you follow them. You need to be listening to God, not anybody else. You need to be following Him so that you don't get choked out and wither away. And then Jesus goes on and talks about this soil. Verse 8, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then I love verse 9. Listen to this. It's not up on the screen, but listen to what he says now. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anybody here not have ears? That's what I thought. So what he says for all of us is that we're to listen and understand, that we're to hear what he's saying to us, and maybe we don't get it in the beginning, but we're to dig down deeper. He goes on in verse 23 to explain this part. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as have been planted. Listen, when we allow the seed to fall in us, when we allow Him to toil, to till up our soil and to fertilize it and to water and to do all the things, that when the seed falls, then we then produce a harvest. That means that we go out and we don't just keep it to ourselves, but we tell other people about the good news of Jesus. And let me just tell you, as I prepared for this message, I was burdened this week. Not that I'm not always burdened by the message, but man, when we talk about the most important thing, the greatest responsibility we have as Christians, this is a big deal. This is the biggest thing this is like the playbook. Like if the Panthers are getting ready to play and they sit down and like, here's the game plan for today. This is how we're going to win this game. Listen, this is our game plan as believers. If the Panthers would follow that and everything goes like they want, then they have a chance of winning. They have a chance of being very successful. If we follow this and we know the soils and we do the things that we're supposed to do, we have a very good chance of being successful in helping other people experience life change. And that's why we've got to take this so serious. Jesus is teaching about this different receptivity of the gospel, that not everybody's open to it. Some people are a little bit ready. You know, some people are not ready at all. Some people, you know, they grab it, but they don't put themselves in the right place, so they get choked out by the weeds. And then some people, man, they're just ready to go, and you can't stop them. They're just going to tell you about Jesus, and they're going to share it, man, and they're going to share it in a way that it's so powerful that you understand it, and you're going to accept it. We all have that responsibility. The gospel is open to everyone. Not everyone's open to it. Tell people about God. Tell them. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying tell them about it. Some are not going to understand. Some aren't going to follow through. They're going to accept it and they're going to disappear. Some are going to get bowled over by life. Anybody been bowled over by life? I'll give you my examples. Yeah, it's tough. It's not easy. Some are going to grab onto it. They're going to hold on for dear life, and they're going to allow it to be their driving force in life, that allows them to not just share the gospel, to be this Bible thumper. No, they're gonna allow that to shape them as they work, as they play, and as they do anything else in life. And that's what we're to have here. Because listen, there's all kinds of soils, there's all kinds of results that are gonna come. But if you notice something about this account that Jesus gives us, there's one thing that's consistent with all the soils. It's that the seeds kept coming. You get it? See, even though there was rocky soil and there was footpaths and there was weeds and all and thorns and all that stuff, the seeds continued to be thrown and stop. So for you and for me, that means that it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. We're to keep throwing seeds. We're to keep laying them out there so that the harvest can come, because some are going to fall on good soil, some aren't. But guess what? That's not up to us. That's not my problem where the seed falls. My problem is if I don't throw it. I have a responsibility, and that's the same for you. We need to be ready to do that. We get hung up on all these results, that things have to be the way that we want them to be. It's got to be positive. You know, we're in such that in a mindset that we have to win. I mean, I've already busted on football teams because they don't win, all right? It's all about winning so often. But listen, when it comes to the gospel, it's not about winning. It's about playing the game. It's about being part of who we're supposed to be. We get a couple no's, and man, it just shuts us down for life. If that's the way life went, if just a few no's shut us down and we didn't do anything, Pastor Gabe will never get a girlfriend. I'm just, you know. He does have one, y'all. I asked him today. I said, she's not going to be here today, is she? Because he knew something was coming, but not, he didn't know what. Anyway, I'm just messing. But the reality is when it comes to no's, we can't let it shut us down. We can't let it get us off course. Maybe you think that your whole workplace is just a big concrete pad. There's no way for a seed to fall into there. Maybe you think that your school is rocky soil. Maybe you think your family is just full of a bunch of grown-up weeds or in-laws. They're kind of the same, right? But you better not say that, man. I'm just saying. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but you better not say that, Jason. But the truth is that that maybe you think the place that you're at is not a place that the gospel would ever, the seed would ever fall in and grow and produce anything. Listen, that's not your call. We have taken over the responsibility of figuring out where the gospel should be shared and where it shouldn't be shared. You show me where it says that in here. Doesn't say it. That if you're a believer in Christ, that you have accepted the gospel, you've been changed by it, the Bible says is that you are to go. And you're to go and tell. And this, Jesus says, listen, it doesn't matter about the soil. Even though it's there, you just keep throwing seeds and you let me work on it. See, we don't know about the person in front of us in line at Lowe's. We don't know about the person that we run into at Burger King. We don't know about the people that we have interaction with, you know, on the phone even, when we're trying to settle a dispute over a bill or something. We don't know who we're talking about, and we don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know where they are, and we certainly don't know what God's been doing to prepare them for the seed to fall on them. And we need to be responsible for it. God may have you in their life for that very moment to share and for them to have a chance to be changed forever. Have you ever really thought about that? I think if we get that, I'm just going to be honest, I struggle with that too. I don't think that way all the time. I wish I did. I'm praying that that's me, but I don't. I'm just going to be honest with you. But man, God is opening my eyes so much to see different opportunities, so many different ways now. But if the church ever gets that, I promise we won't be able to fit them all in, because it'll change our world. Here's a for instance. Listen, some of you saw I posted a couple weeks ago some skid marks through our parking lot, right? That some kid had come and he had just, you know, dropped it down into first and he dropped the clutch and just went flying through, left these big old skid marks through our parking lot. And man, if you'd have been here that night, I was sitting in my office and I heard that and saw that big cloud of dust out there, you'd have been like, I don't know that guy. Because I came out of my office and I was ready. I was going out there to get in front of the truck. I'm just telling you. Now, I wasn't going to jerk him out of there hard. I just wanted to talk to him and help him understand where I was. But the reality is you know, had this thing happen. It's not the first time it happened. It's just aggravating to go out there and rake the gravel back and all that stuff. And so I'm thinking about it. And so I go out, this happens. I'm just trying to find out who it is, because I really did want an opportunity to talk to him. For him to apologize to you, really to you guys, and then two, to just make it right and fix it. Right? And so through some detective work and some friends with some open eyes and stuff, I found that young man. I found out who his daddy was, and I went and had a talk with his dad. Now, you talk about kind of fear of rejection and fear of being shot at and all that good stuff. You know, I went and had a conversation with this man that I didn't know and just shared with him, you know, the things his son had done. And, you know, I'm a pretty protective parent. You know, my kid messes up, you need to know, you mess up, you're going to deal with me. But I'm still going to be a little protective. But anyway, I had this conversation with this man. It went really good. And yesterday, we had been putting up our new road signs. If you hadn't seen them, check them out at the connector at 740. It looked pretty good. And so I get back here, and that young man is out there, and he's raked the parking lot back as best he could. And I got to have a conversation with him. And I just shared my heart with him. I shared the gospel with him too. And I heard that he had just accepted Christ at Caswell Beach and all of that this summer. And so that's a great thing. But, you know, spinning through a parking lot, listen, doesn't make you a sinner, all right? Doesn't make you a bad person. It makes him a teenage kid. I get that. But the reality is I could have just assumed that he knew Jesus and passed on. But I took a moment and just shared with him how that fits into grace and how that fits into forgiveness and redemption. And I took it, and I didn't bore him with it. I made it on his level, and we had a great conversation. It was short, but I was able to share that with him so that that wasn't a bad situation on him. I did not want that young man to walk away and look at the church as the way a lot of people look at the church, because they have a bad experience with somebody that's focused on themselves and not on who Christ is. And so I'm not perfect in it, because, listen, I was mad in the beginning. But I repented of that and allowed God to use me in a way. And listen, that's the way that you can respond in situations too. You can do the same. I'm not special in that. When we think about the power of the gospel and the seed falling on whatever kind of soil, and we don't worry about it, and we understand that that person, if they never receive it, would spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell that's real. If we really think about the implications of that, that should drive us to share the gospel in a totally different way. So that gave me the opportunity to share it. Here's what Romans 10 says about that. It says in verse 13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If you're here today, you've never accepted Christ, and you call out and recognize who he is, you will be saved today. If you share the gospel and somebody cries out and acknowledges who Christ is, they will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? If you're a Christ follower, you've been sent. That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." I've shared with you guys, I got some nasty, ugly, beat up feet. But when I share the gospel, the Bible tells me that they are beautiful. And when you share the gospel, your feet are beautiful. It says that, "But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' So faith comes from hearing," that is, hearing the good news about Jesus. The only way for someone to believe it is to hear it. Somebody's got to go tell them. Somebody told you. And so you have a responsibility to go tell them. Here's the question. We talked about risk. This is a risky thing to go and tell. What are you willing to risk, knowing that the results aren't up to you, but they're up to the creator of the universe? What would you be willing to risk if it didn't depend on you, but it depended on him? When we come to sharing the gospel, you need to understand the results don't depend on you. They depend on him. We need to be willing to risk a few things to allow that to happen. Now, I think about the people in Iraq right now. We can have all the political, opinions that we want to have or whatever. But listen, in Iraq right now, there are people who believe in Jesus Christ who are being killed because of that. And you and I get to sit here, and we get to hear this all the time. We get to talk about it freely. And we don't have to worry about somebody cutting our head off or shooting our kids or whatever. But every day that's happening in Iraq right now. In Mosul, they're being run out by the tens of thousands. They're being pushed out into these camps. If they don't leave, they're going to die. And you and I are worried about telling somebody that we accepted Jesus. Listen, you think about where Mosul, Iraq is. If you kind of look back, it sits in a place called that was formerly called Nineveh. If you know your Bible stories, Nineveh was the place that Jonah was involved with. Jonah, the Bible story we've probably all heard, listen, he had an opportunity. He was told to do something by God. He didn't do it. Listen to what Jonah 1, verse 1 says. He said, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Long story short, Jonah goes. God tells him to go to Nineveh. He goes the opposite direction. He gets on a boat. God causes a terrible storm. Jonah ends up thrown overboard. He gets swallowed up by a big old fish. Right, that's a whole nother sermon to explain how that all worked. But he gets swallowed up by this fish and eventually gets spit back out. And he finds himself having to face God and the responsibility that he was told to go do something and he didn't do it. And he goes through these things. He was convinced that if he went to Nineveh, he hated Nineveh. He didn't want anything to do with them. He was convinced that if he went, nothing good would come out of it. Listen, it's not about what we think will happen. Look at what happens with Jonah in chapter 3, verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time." God is a God of second chances. No matter what church you go to or what your slogan is, he still gives us second chances, okay? You need to understand that. We have second chances. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow." Listen, they acknowledged who God was, they repented of their sin, and they were changed. Because Jonah got over himself and went and did what he was told to do. And church, listen, we got to get over ourselves. We got to get over what we think is people are going to think of us if we just share what's been done in our lives. The gospel isn't going and preaching the Bible. You don't have to be a preacher and stand on a stage. You just need to go and tell whoever it is what God's done in your life. If he really has done something. If you've experienced it, you need to go and tell people what's happened to you. See, fantasy football is awesome. It's a fun time if you play it. But the truth is, you can't join a league unless somebody invites you to. And the gospel is life-changing. And unless somebody tells you about it, you don't hear about it. And if the people around you, if you don't go tell them, they may never hear it and they may never be changed. Here's the truth. I won't know who's open to the gospel unless I'm open with it. I won't know who's open to it unless I'm open with it. You know, Gabe and I were talking this week, God's really been dealing with me this about why people hear something from somebody, and it's something that you've told them 100 times, and they go hear it from a different person, and all of a sudden, they believe it. It's like they've never heard it. This happens all the time, I get it. I don't care who they hear it from. I just want them to experience it and be changed by it. But it's so interesting how that happens. But here's why I think it happens. Because oftentimes I think when they hear it from somebody else, they believe that person understands it more. They believe that person has experienced it more maybe than you. And I really was struggling with that. You know, how does that work? How do you make a connection with somebody to get them to believe it? But so let me tell you why this gospel being shared is so important to me. See, I understand it. See, some of you are experiencing some things in your life, and you're thinking, Ron didn't have a clue what I'm going through, and you're so far off base. See, at the age of 21. there was two things that were important to me. There was three, I'm sorry. There were three. There was working out. There was drinking beer. And there was chasing girls. True, I'm serious. I'll just be honest with you. I could have cared less about anything else. I did have to pay rent every now and then. That was on the list. But those three things, they drove everything that I did. And I would assume just hung out and drank beer and watched football all day as anything else in my life. I just would have hung out, you know, as long as there was a party, I was there. That was me. And I understood what it was like to try to find joy in the bottom of a bottle. I understood what it was like to find acceptance from a girl that didn't really care about me. She just wanted to hang out with me. She just wanted to be around because I worked out and was kind of muscular, and I was okay, good looking. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get that. But the truth is that we find ourselves at this place where, you know, all I wanted were those things, and I didn't care about anything else. And some of you in this room today understand what that is all about. That's not where you were, that's where you are. And I know what it's like. But I know what it's like to try to find all this, the peace and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, all the things that come from the Spirit, trying to find them in everything else in the world. And come up empty every single time. I met a man named Dave, and if you've been around here a while, you've heard me talk about Dave. Dave was a guy who cut hair for college kids, and he cut it for free, didn't charge anything, just for an opportunity to just hang out with you, love you, and share the gospel with you, and invite you to church. He would cut your hair. He wouldn't charge you a dime. He just said, please, just come to church one time. And he cut it, do whatever you wanted to it. Just come to church one time. And so Dave, over a period of about almost 2 years, he shared the gospel with me, not just in word, but in deed and everything else. And Dave was tilling some pretty rocky, ugly soil. He was tilling some hard stuff. He kept throwing seeds. He just kept throwing them. And they just kept bouncing off of me, and the birds kept coming and eating them, and Satan kept, you know, distracting me with all this other stuff. And it's interesting. Dave spent 2 years tilling the soil, throwing the seeds out. And one Thursday night, I was working in the gym that I worked at in Greensboro, and a lady that I knew there that was a Christian, I was training her that night, and she began to talk to me, and we were having this conversation, and she knew where I was. We'd met at church functions just where I would show up at stuff, and she began to just share with me, and she began to answer my questions. These questions I'd already asked Dave, these questions, and be honest, there were some questions that I hadn't asked Dave because I was afraid to. But in that moment, I began to just ask, and she began to share, and she began to throw seeds out. And you know what? One of those seeds that night stuck. And it would hit the fertile soil because that's where I was at that moment. God had prepared it, and he had got me to that place where I realized that without him, I was lost. And that I couldn't do anything, no matter how strong I was, that I could never bench press the gates of hell open again. Once they closed by me, I was done. And I accepted Christ that night. Now, I'll just tell you, that night, I made a decision that I wanted that for me. And I accepted it. Guess what I did? I went to church Sunday and went down and prayed at the altar like we're supposed to do, right? But I know that I acknowledged it to God that night, or that day, that Sunday. But that Thursday night, I made a decision that the gospel was for me. And that the soil was right and the seed had landed and it was ready to grow. And so today, I want you to know that I get where you're at. I get where it is to doubt God. I get where it is to say, you know what? I like this better in my life than this Jesus stuff. I like this better than I do all those fanatics over there that are telling me I need to come to church. I get that. But I also get that when you boil it all down, the truth is the gospel is for everybody. And there has to come a time in your life where you have to be open to it. But guess what? You'll miss out, and you'll spend forever in a place that you have no comprehension of what it would be like. It's a place that truly is hell. And so today, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know what your relationship is like with God. But today, I want you to hear the gospel message that Jesus loved you enough to come and give his life for you to pay the price for your sin, for your falling short of the standard that God set. He gave his life in a horrible, cruel way on a cross. He was buried, and he was raised again so that you and I could have forgiveness of our sins and spend forever with him. And today, if you've never accepted that, my prayer is that you will. Today, if you've accepted it, but you've allowed things to choke you out, then today I pray that you'll allow God to till your soul some more. Today, if you found yourself with shallow roots and you're about to wither up and die, then I'm praying that you'll dig yourself in and that you'll allow, come let me, Gabe, know, let us come alongside you and help you begin to grow your roots deeper so that when things get tough that you don't wither up and die. But today, if you've accepted that, then may this be the day that you decide that you're not going to be afraid anymore, that you're not going to fear rejection, but that you're going to accept the challenge to share your faith with whoever God tells you to share it with. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much today for who you are. God, when I look back on those days of being separated from you, I don't know why. I don't know why you would even choose to give me a second chance. But God, that's you. That's who you are. And so today, there are many in this room that are having not just a second chance, but they're having multiple chances to hear you, hear who you are and accept you. So God, today, may we give you ourselves completely. God, may we give you all of us. If it's for the first time, just acknowledging that we need you to be our Savior. If it's that we just need to recommit to you that we're gonna grow in our faith and we're gonna share our faith. God, if it's that I'm gonna volunteer and be more plugged in and be part of what you're doing here. God, you're doing amazing things. So God, I pray today that we'll accept the challenge to be more of who you want us to be, no matter where our starting point is right now. God, may you just take us and may you do amazing things with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm feeling so small, standing here weeping as I'm coming clean of the secrets I'm keeping. I've caused so much pain.